This week's episode is brought to you by Blue Harvest Vintage. Are you a collector? Blue Harvest love to help you find that missing piece you need to complete your collection. They have extensive stock of vintage Star Wars vehicles and mint on card action figures, as well as new The Force Awakens and Black Series items. Blue Harvest have Funko Pops, Lego, Dinky, Corgi, Matchbox and more. Everything a collector could possibly need. If they don't stock it, then let them know, and their knowledgeable staff will be only too pleased to help. Reach out to Blue Harvest on Twitter, at Blue Harvest UK, Facebook, Blue Harvest Vintage Collectibles, a website, blueharvestvintage.co.uk, or email at blueharvesttoys@gmail.com.
Talk Star Wars is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Follow at SW Commonwealth on Twitter and take your first steps into a larger world. This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Talk Star Wars. I'm Mark.
I'm Stephen.
I'm Rob.
I'm Paul. Hey. And I'm not Rob.
Oh, see how
no,
well,
it's true.
See how well
it
we
can be
were
only
doing.
One. Okay. Except in the Commonwealth, there's about 12.
60 episodes, and the last three or four we've done this right.
Yeah, it's good. I'm getting a record going. We need one of those signs like you get in The Simpsons.
The
it's like number of days since last disaster.
Yeah,
like,
see, I'd be dialing it back now, wouldn't I?
Yeah, last number of episodes since the last F up.
How are we doing, chaps?
All good?
All right, mate.
Everyone good?
I've just noticed something that's really putting me off.
What's
sorry,
that?
Right? You're looking at the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at the picture on the first page.
Yeah.
And look at the girl in the middle of the A.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You keep seeing a big kind of cat-dog kind of face. Definitely dog thing.
She does look like she's got a part in Cats.
When you don't stare at me.
Sorry?
On the art, art that's clipped to the side of the show notes.
Yeah.
Amelia Clark looks like she's rehearsing for a party.
She looks like she's in a Star Wars holiday special.
She's auditioning for
leering over her.
Yeah. To be fair,
guy,
you know.
Who's the guy next to her?
Get it.
The director?
No, the other side.
Oh, Han Solo.
Who?
The one and only Han Solo.
One in the movie, Paul. God.
He's anyway. Dead.
Don't blow the ending. We're going to get to the artwork. We're going to get to the cast photo.
Who's dead?
Am I dead?
Everyone.
Is it me?
Let's not start another episode talking about death. Thankfully.
Joan of Arc.
Nobody died.
No, we've actually had it's been a quiet week for that.
Yeah. Right. Announcement section. Quick reminder that our sponsors, Blue Harvest Vintage, are offering a 10% discount when you tell them that we sent you. So head to facebook.com/ Blue Harvest Vintage Collectibles or follow at Blue Harvest UK on Twitter. Tell them we sent you and save yourself a few quid. We have something on the back burner. I know we're not going to mention it in any detail, Rob, but we have something on the boil with Blue Harvest at the moment. So look forward to an announcement in the coming weeks. Mm. All right. We're going to start this week's show with something quite special. I know there's going to be other similar activity across the Commonwealth. We're going to knight a listener this week because we haven't done one in a while. We've only done one. We've only done Connor so far. Mm. So we're going to add another Knight of the Commonwealth to the family. So we'd like to start by knighting our dear friend Dave Donovan. It's going to be a very Dave-centric show this week, but Dave's been a long-term supporter of the show. He's always interacting and contributing, especially in the VIP feed. So this is long overdue. We had decided a while ago that we would create these knights for people who have serviced the Commonwealth in an outstanding way, and Dave has certainly done that. Always sharing, always commenting, always interacting, making it all worthwhile. So, Dave, thank you very much for your continued support, sir, and welcome to Knights of the Commonwealth.
Yes, indeed.
To put our weapon on his shoulder now.
You can do that. Naked Steve will knight you officially.
Where does he live?
Ireland. Okay. There hasn't been a great deal of activity on the social networks this week. It sort of comes in fits and starts, doesn't it? But we need to say thank you to Kevin Sibbery for liking the Facebook page this week.
Is that the right pronunciation?
We never get the right pronunciation.
Sibbery.
Kyberry. Kyberry Crystallery.
That could be his Star Wars, Talk Star Wars.
There you go.
It's just Star Wars. Talk Star Wars names. Yeah. I think Sibbery looks right.
Yeah,
are you serious?
I like your thinking, Paul.
Serious? Serious time out. Mark, where's our Jedi names, knighthoods, and all the other spiel?
You don't get it.
Aren't we automatically knights?
Literally no. Just a piece of skin.
Well, that just sucks. I've done like 200 employed. Hours of this stuff.
I've got a Sith, I've got a Sith name.
Huh?
I've got a Sith name. I'm Emperor Palpatine.
You're big, yeah. Wickety.
I've got a rap name too. What have you got? Come on.
Each one of Rob's personalities has got a name.
I've got, yeah, seriously.
Steve, you're Naked like Steve. Split.
Yeah, I'm Sir. I want to be Sir Naked Steve.
Lucky me, I'm Paul.
Paul and me are just our bland, regular old selves.
Oh.
We're thinking something for ourselves, Paul.
Mark, let's
so you're not even a knight of the Commonwealth then?
No.
There is nobody in the Commonwealth who thinks that Mark, neither Mark nor Paul is bland and their regular self. I know for a fact that's not true. So
maybe that'll be
get that idea out of your head.
That'll be this week's Twitter poll.
Choose a Star Wars.
Who is the least bland?
Do you think we are bland?
Oh man, that's a.
And I'll change. I'll try and change the colours to beige.
Oh, I'm not going to. I was accidentally going to be mean there, and I'm not going to.
No, don't be mean. Right. We got a review this week, and as I said, bear in mind, this is going to be a Dave Donovan-centric show this week. So if you want to be someone that isn't Dave Donovan that leaves a review, then head over to iTunes and do that for us. Take advantage of the Ron Burgundy guarantee, which means whatever you write in a five-star review, I will read verbatim. So if you want to promote something, that's where to do it. There's only one rule, keep it clean. So this week's five-star review is from our friend Dave, and it says that simply the best. This is the very best Star Wars podcast out there. The guys have a lovely, friendly and welcoming vibe. They really get into listener questions and theories, have some of the greatest, and they are some of the greatest and incisive minds in Star Wars fandom. You'll be happy that you checked out this podcast. You'll be a dedicated fan once you do. Cannot recommend Talk Star Wars high enough. 5 stars. That's very kind, Dave. Thank you so much
indeed.
For such a generous review.
But it's at a 10, considering
how many podcasts I know he listens to. That's high praise indeed.
He's a connoisseur, isn't he, of Star Wars podcasting? Yeah, it's high praise indeed. And you will find very shortly. You will find Dave amongst the VIP amongst the knights on the Star Wars Commonwealth homepage, and I intend to put a link in there to his woodwork.
Absolutely. Got to plug that stuff because that's some fine work.
That will certainly be a perk for the knights, right? Okay, listener comms. I'll kick this off, and then Rob, do you want to take this? Or how many questions have we got this week? We've got two in Connor's corner, right? I'll kick this off, and Steve, you can take Ian's question, and then Paul, you can take Dave's, and then Rob, you've got Connor's corner.
Oh, where's Dave's? Hang on,
it's in there. Right, so you can send us your questions and comments via Twitter, Facebook, or you can send us an email directly to talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. It's easy for me to say. That's talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. And you can also attach an MP3 to that and get a voicemail onto the show if you so decide. Steve, would you like to read us Ian's question this week?
Okay, so from Ian Jolliffe. I talk Star Wars. If you aren't sick of me yet, I have another question. Palpatine talks of everything proceeding as I have foreseen. I wonder if he saw the future where Vader would be redeemed and kill him to save Luke. If so, did he ignore it as just one possible future only? Perhaps it was the will of the Force that Palpatine was killed, and the Force itself prevented Palpatine from seeing this future outcome. What do you think? All the best, Ian Jolliffe, pronounced Jolliffe rather than the cool French-sounding Jolliffe twist you put on it. That's how what's-his-name would say it, wasn't it? Okay, breakdown. Did Palpatine see the future where Anakin returned and kill him, or did the Force hide that from him deliberately?
More importantly, Jolliffe is a really cool Star Wars name.
Sounds like a planet, doesn't it, Jolliffe?
Jolliffe, yeah.
No, just Joel-if. Anyway.
Somewhere there's a country and western singer singing about him on...
Yes.
Jolliffe.
Oh, well
anyway, Steve? Can you mute again now, please?
I thought that joke was going to be way more sophisticated than it turned out being, Steve, but that's okay. You get bonus points.
It's me.
Trying. Yeah.
I don't do sophisticated.
So did Palpatine see the future where Anakin returned and killed him? Or the part of Ian's question was, did he see it and ignore it? What do we think? Paul, let's start with you.
He didn't see it.
He didn't see it. That would
no, I don't think he did. Because, I mean, you look at his face when, you know, For anyone that hasn't seen it, please turn the speakers down for 5 minutes. But when Anakin Vader picks him up and so on, he's in a state of shock. He didn't expect that to come at all. So he didn't know, he didn't see it. As for the Force hiding it from him, I don't think the Force hides anything from anybody. The way you manipulate the Force allows you to go and come and so on. I don't think it's a situation where anything beyond his own ability could have changed the situation. I just think he just didn't see it coming.
Okay.
But you're going to say, in canon, it says this, and I'm going to look completely wrong.
No. No, not at all. It's I'm with you, I think, at least on one part of that. I don't think he saw it coming, but I would write it off as being as his arrogance, which is how I explain the way a lot of the mistakes the Empire made would be the arrogance of the dark side users. But I like the idea that the Force might hide stuff, just in the way that it might reveal stuff. And it gives the Force a little agency, rather than it being all about the Force users. And I think that might be the conversations we've been having recently about the grey and where they're going to go with the grey. The Force might play a bigger part in that as more of a sentient thing than we've seen it so far.
But that takes away free will with the Force.
Not entirely.
Makes it a little bit godlike, which I don't understand.
The thing... we have to take our lead from Yoda, really, in Empire Strikes Back, when he said always in motion the future is. So you can see the future based on the current events. If someone changes their intentions, the future changes. That's why it's always moving, right? So there is, that implies that there's still free will. But I like the idea that the Force can show you something.
But the whole situation, I mean, butterfly effect, anything could have happened between point A and point B that changed Tino Weenie, whatever, saw, is that what you're saying?
Mm. Yes, anything could. Yeah, I like the idea that the Force might have held stuff back from him, and not manipulated events, but let people make the decisions they make. So until Vader pulled Leia's name out of the hat, Luke would have been quite happy to have died in the Death Star. And then when the sister thing came up, it brought out the fight in Luke. I don't think the Force necessarily would have been involved in that. That's purely the agency of Luke. That's a bit of Luke's rage coming out. That's driving that decision, and that changes the course of events. But I do like the idea that the Force would hold something back from... It won't reveal everything to Palpatine. Otherwise, it would allow him to prevent the events of Return of the Jedi.
I don't like the idea of the Force doing that. I like the idea of him misreading it, but not it being fed to him.
That's what I think it was, to be clear. That's what I think it was. I think it was his arrogance that led to him overlooking it, thinking, no, I've got Vader where I need him. He's dedicated to the Sith.
The Force isn't going to outline it, is it, in perfect this, and this. He probably foresaw that a Jedi would die, thinking it would be Luke. Or something, or Luke kills Vader, but not that Luke would not kill Vader and kill the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
But he probably just had it on good authority from leading figures in the Force that someone was going to snuff it.
I wonder if there's a chance that if you start using the dark side, if you get consumed by the dark side, do you disappear within the Force so you can't see your own path?
Didn't happen to me.
Rob, what's your take on it all?
I think the arrogance thing is kind of the way I've always swung with it. We know that from hearing Yoda kind of give the training that the future's subject to a lot of flux, to say it mildly. So I think that he may have seen that as one of a number of alternative futures and just dismissed it as the one least likely to.
That makes a lot of sense.
Turned out to be wrong.
Mm. Because of the whole thing we just said about always in motion, the future is he may well have seen the future, but he may have seen lots of potentials and only had faith in the one that he wanted the most, which is his success, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's how I've interpreted it anyway.
Okay, thanks for that question, Ian. Hopefully we've got a few ideas out there that make a bit of sense, mostly arrogance, although I do kind of like the idea that the Force would withhold some information. But as Rob sort of indicated, with that future being always in motion, it's very easy for Palpatine just to pick the one that served his needs and probably catered to his ego, I would think. Yeah. Thanks for that, Ian. Nice. And thanks for correcting our pronunciation of your name. Hmm. All right, Paul, do you want to take Dave's question?
Absolutely. Okay, right. From Dave Donovan. Hi, Dave. How are you doing, sir? Okay. Question. Why don't we ever recognize mothers in Star Wars? Seems to be a rampage about female representation in Star Wars, and that's fine. But mums? None. You never hear any talk about Padme at all as Luke and Leia's mother. There's total disconnect. The films totally failed at imprinting the fact that she was their mother. There is no weight to her death or legacy following on in the story, apart from Luke and Leia's mother throwaway comments on Endor, which is kind of correct, to be honest. When we hear Luke and Leia and family, we think Vader, nothing about their mum, from them or anyone. No theorising, no speculation how she informed who they were as people that needed genetically or historically or even threads or comebacks within their stories in universe or in canon. They're technically detached royalty of Naboo too. I sound like a whiny lost boy because I lost my mum and I hadn't seen her in over 20 years. And when I did, she was in a coffin. Wow. Surely this sort of pain had to feed into Luke's story now, at least as we knew Owen and Beru. Never connected with him as real parents. Star, every mother matters. Ponderously, Dave. So, breakdown in a nutshell, which he's done himself, to be honest. Why hasn't Star Wars acknowledged the mother of the main characters in the rated? And do you think it will now do so in the coming films? That's pretty deep, actually.
It's very deep. And firstly,
yeah, and I do admire him, expressing it the way he has.
Well, seriously, this is the wonderful thing about Star Wars, isn't it? How I'm not going to say true fans or real fans, but there are fans that connect with Star Wars in a profoundly personal way. And yeah, this question has shown that Dave has connected with this aspect that he's given great thought to in a deeply personal way. So,
and it's quite flattering that he's actually thrown it at us.
Thank you for sharing that. And clearly condolences for the loss of your mum.
Absolutely.
I must say, straight off the bat, there was a plan. It would have been Legends, I think. There was a story that Luke and Leia's mum, before Padme was even a figment of George's imagination, might have been a white witch within the Force. Do you remember any of that, Rob?
I'm not familiar with that particular.
I've never read it. I remember a friend of mine talking to me about it and telling me that he'd read the story and Luke's mother was referenced as this white witch. But I think that may have been a ruse within the story because I never read it. I never followed up really on much of the old legend stuff. So there clearly was, by some of the writers of the Expanded Universe materials, there was an attempt to address Luke and Leia's mum within some stories.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that didn't go anywhere. But even though, like Dave said, they don't really address the mother, she got three films.
Mm, sure, she did. Absolutely. Yeah.
She got half the original.
I get what Dave's
saying. Not of the mother.
Yeah, I do get what Dave's saying about how in the OT there's very little mention of her.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'd argue that there's not much mention of their upbringing in general. I don't think it's, they don't tend to delve back into the past.
No, they haven't done yet. They haven't done yet. I suspect that they probably will, and I think that might take two. That might take two forms. There could be. There's a very slim chance that we might see some reference to Padme in the new movies.
Yeah, I thought that might be a possibility as well.
But I think that's quite a slim possibility because this is Anakin's story, isn't it? The rise and fall of Anakin in the original movie, in the prequels. And then you've got the fall of Anakin and his redemption in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Now, this film, I think, is the legacy of Anakin Skywalker, and I don't know how much of a part Padme will have to play in that.
Mm.
But there's certainly an opportunity now for us to get stories about young Leia and her upbringing on Alderaan, and young Luke and his upbringing on Tatooine, and who knows what might be discussed in those stories about Padme, because remember, Owen and Beru, who raised Luke, met Padme.
Yes, this is true.
What do you guys
think? We were speculating, weren't we, last episode about how much dealing in terms... how much they knew about what had gone on before Revenge of the Sith, Owen and Beru, how much they were told.
Yeah.
I wonder if they kind of even, you know, would they have even been told that? that they were Anakin and Padme's children.
But there is an answer out there, isn't there? Dave pointed out in one of his Facebook comments that they covered some of the Obi-Wan Kenobi stuff in the comics.
So, of course they did. Yeah, because we found that, didn't we, while we were talking. We ended up tracking down the comics and the sort of the vague story. We didn't have the whole detail, but we went through a bit of the sort of plot synopsis.
Yeah.
I guess when they filmed 4, 5 and 6, they had no idea who Padme was at that point, did they? There was no name attached to the character, because when there was that famous mistake when Luke says, "I don't remember my mother," and Leia says she does, but obviously she couldn't have, because they were taken away the moment they were whipped out.
Yeah.
So that to me smacks of a disconnect.
Yeah.
Unintentional, because there was no Padme at that point.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's, you know, those extra, 6 seconds that she spent in Padme kind of being birthed, I think that makes all the difference, clearly. You know, I think that's what makes why she can remember Padme and Luke can't. It's just purely those 6 seconds just imprinted so much.
Well, maybe it's a Force thing. Maybe she could remember her because of the Force.
I was being facetious, but yeah, sure.
maybe. Maybe there's an imprint there.
Maybe. But then you think Luke would pick it up. Sorry, go on, Paul.
Now, on another aspect, though, the OT is, in a broader sense, known as the Luke Skywalker story, yeah? And the Luke Skywalker story, obviously, he's got no memory attached to his mother whatsoever. There's nothing to carry there. The entire highlight of those, the OT, is his relationship with his father.
Yeah.
So that's true. Why. I mean, I'm talking purely from a writing perspective, obviously. That's why that probably wasn't carried over. But it is known kind of thing as the Luke Skywalker story sort of thing.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. I think that makes sense.
I'm wondering as well, in light of, you know, recent events and so on, if they want to add a little bit of depth to the oncoming saga, they may well, obviously, a bit of Luke and Leia situation may come in. Now, even without Carrie Fisher being in any element of story in the next film, you might still get some narrative from Luke as to, you know, a little bit of background. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, possibly.
Mm. There could be, you know, this thing with how Leia kind of had images, feelings about her mother, but clearly there's no chance that she would remember that experience on, was it Polis Massa, the asteroid where the children were born. There's an element in Star Wars storytelling. I think it was called psychometry, but I'm not sure what it's called now. It's when a Force user touches something, they get images off of that item.
I think it's still called psychometry.
Is it still called psychometry?
I think so, yeah.
There was a suggestion recently that maybe that's what Kylo is using with these Vader trinkets, like the helmet, and he's going to have his cape and all these sorts of things.
It's not a Star Wars term. So, yeah, it's probably still called psychometry.
Within the Star Wars universe still, though. I know it's been used in storytelling.
Other contexts, yeah.
But it could
it's still
changed.
It still seems to be... Yeah, it's still psychometry.
The verbiage may have been... All right, okay. So there's a feeling that Kylo might be using psychometry to get the... visions of Vader, you know, like show me again the power of the dark side. He may be using psychometry to considering that connection to Vader when he's getting these hits off of these items that he's touching.
Yeah.
With Bail Organa's connection to Padme through the Senate and the fact that they built the rebellion together, there's a chance perhaps that Leia had access to some of Padme's belongings that she's touched, and through psychometry had visions of Padme, and that's the visions. They're the feelings that she's getting when she makes that comment on Endor, that she's actually having Force visions through psychometry of her mother.
Yeah.
It kind of explains that thing away. And, that, you know, maybe there'll be more of that in the storytelling to come.
Mm. Yeah, entirely possible.
But he's right. She doesn't get enough. She's not referenced props. Enough in the OT. And that's, again, it's the thing that brings the OT down most of the time, which is also its strength, which is the rate of speed for the storytelling. Yeah. It doesn't also slow down long enough to tell us these things.
It's also worth keeping in mind that, you know, the fact that he was vague on that stuff in the earlier kind of films meant that he was able to tie together the Luke and Leia thing eventually anyway, because otherwise he might not have been able to, because if he'd gone too much into the depth of Luke's real family, which, like I say, we didn't, you know, they didn't dwell on Luke's family beyond setting up the aunt and uncle to then be torched.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know necessarily that it's, you know, I understand why it might be nice to have, but I don't consider it, I don't imagine it would be necessary to tell the story.
Yeah, A New Hope wouldn't work, because the thing that sets the story in motion in A New Hope is Luke being told, like, your dad's dead, and the person that killed him is this big scary monster that you're about to meet. It's that's the thing that drives Luke's hero's journey.
Yeah.
So to sort of say, well, no, like, your dad's a bad guy, and this is who your mum was, and this is what, it would just slow it down. And
yeah, exactly.
And George, you could say, George did a bit of that slowing down in the prequel trilogy, which is why a lot of people don't really enjoy those films. But maybe she'll get her fair dues.
I think there's a good possibility that she'll have some sort of role to play in the coming two films.
I would like, considering the great job that Claudia Gray did with, it's Claudia Gray that did
Bloodline,
right? Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's Claudia Gray, yeah.
The fantastic work that she did on that book, I would like to see her explore Leia at a different period in her life.
Yeah.
Maybe pre-Rogue One. It would be pre-Rogue One now, wouldn't it, really? With the appearance at the end of that movie, spoilers. That would be nice. And then we can explore a little bit more about Luke and Leia's relationship with Padme in that story. That would be good. Fantastic. All right, is there another part? No, I think we've done it. I think we've covered everything. Do we think now they'll cover it in the coming films? No, I think we're done. Dave, thank you for such a personal question.
Awesome.
Yes, always wonderful to hear from you anyway, and especially when, like you say, like Mark says, it's deep and kind of personal for you, and it's hopefully we've done it justice.
It's nice to know that this series of films can be just this light Saturday morning family comedy action film, but it can also inform these other slightly deeper corners of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Thanks, Dave. Okay, we're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to jump into Connor's Corner. If you'd like to support what we do here at Talk Star Wars, you can do so by becoming a TSW sponsor. For as little as £1 per month, given securely via PayPal, you can help us keep the lights on here at TSW. When you become a TSW sponsor, we will elevate you to VIP status. As a TSW VIP, you'll get access to an exclusive stream that provides you with fun downloads like HD wallpapers for your desktop, tablet, and mobile device, ringtones and text alerts, courtesy of our very own audio Jedi, at Rob Wade Vision. You'll also receive a monthly newsletter with news about what's going on here at Talk Star Wars. And you'll get a priority release of the new Star Wars audio commentary series called TSW Feature Comms. All this for as little as £1 per month. Head to talkstarwars.co.uk/support and become a TSW sponsor today. And the Force will be with you always.
And we're back. So as you've just heard, you can go to talkstarwars.co.uk/support and find out more about the sponsorship scheme and the VIP program in order to support what we do in an even more, you know, even more wonderful way than the wonderful things we always get from our listeners. However, as is customary after that period, it's time to hear from Connor in Connor's Corner featuring Leo. And Connor writes thusly, "Hello, my friends. I hope you're well and have had a good week. No doubt by now we've all seen the image of Rey, Poe and Finn. While there is not much given away in this image, Rey's new Qui-Gon hairstyle, and of course she's brandishing a lightsaber, which on closer inspection looks like a Skywalker saber. Could this be a hint of what to expect from The Last Jedi? Has Luke not taken back the saber, perhaps telling Rey it called to her? We know at the end of The Return of the Jedi, he still has the green saber. Could this just be an early marketing image? that we, the fans, are trying to glean as much information out of as we can. Remember, we all thought Finn was a Jedi from the Force Awakens posters. Is it another misdirect by Disney? Or has he, Luke, given up the one material thing he and Vader will always be connected by? I'm asking this because we saw how much Kylo wants the saber, and it seems odd that Luke would let Rey wield it, as it would draw Kylo towards her because he wants it as his prize. After all, he said it was his. Could Luke be using her as bait to draw out the Knights of Ren? A bit sinister, I know, but we're not talking about the farm boy from Tatooine anymore. He has an agenda here. He's got an agenda. He wanted that map and him found, but only when he was ready, I'm sure. I know this is all speculation at this time, but we love to speculate about these things. After all, it's not just light and dark side now. Other players have entered the ring. Snoke. And let's face it, we don't know what he or it is yet. Who will turn or who is not what we perceive them to be? I leave these questions with you, my friends, because you will no doubt have something to say on these matters. Thanks, gents. Your friend Connor. May the Force be with you always. But which side? This email was sponsored by Bidham Tish, Tatooine's premier Rebo Band tribute act.
It gets more and more creative.
Those signatures get more and more elaborate and more wonderful every time he writes in.
I might have to steal that one and stick that on my emails. Yeah, good question. So we saw this image, right? That came out last week. Did it come out after we recorded last week?
It must have done, yeah.
During the record, I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't think we spoke about it, did we?
No, it was off the toy packaging, wasn't it? That it was at the toy fair. So
I know I hated it.
You didn't like really? It?
No, of course not. The toy fair. There's no Luke again. It's like they're forgetting all the oldies. Like we're dead already.
Yeah, but they're moving on. It was a G2.
They can move on their own then.
So the.
When they pried from my cold, dead hands.
No, but it must be. It is a bit of a, still no Luke, isn't it? Mm. You've got to admit.
I get that. I can understand that.
I like Finn and Rey.
Yeah.
And the other one. Oh. I can't remember his name now.
Him.
He was in X-Men Armageddon, by the way.
Yes, he was.
I watched
Apocalypse.
It last night. Yeah. I was like, oh.
It's X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, but X-Men Apocalypse. Yeah. That's
he plays Apocalypse. You know how I know, because he plays Apocalypse.
And Bad Adam.
Who was Isaac?
Chris Isaac.
We're all over the place, guys.
Oscar Isaac.
We haven't done a tangent really
Oscar Isaac is...
Oscar Isaac, not Chris Isaac.
Tangents used to be entertaining, and X-Men Apocalypse was the least entertaining thing in the world.
I actually quite liked it. It's Brian Singer.
That is because you're massively wrong, Steve.
Well,
you're hugely wrong.
I think
wrong.
It made a profit. $2.90 at the box office.
Bit of Marvel's imperial arrogance coming through there.
It's made of poo. X-Men Apocalypse is a poo.
All right.
Only anyway. A Sith deals in absolutes.
Yeah.
And it's vegans. Boy.
Sith happens to be part of my name, so I'm happy with that.
So, anyway... I didn't like the poster because there's no Luke in it. And couldn't they even try to appease the old farts who actually made Star Wars what it is today?
I think what it is, Steve, what you have to keep in mind is officially the old farts aren't the ones buying the toys. Now, we know what the reality is, but in terms of from a marketing perspective, that's not who they're aimed at. The fact that that adults buy them is kind of a bonus.
Jeremy's buying them.
Plus, yeah, I'm not saying they're telling all the fans to sod off by not including Luke on the thing. What I'm saying is they're designed to appeal to younger fans because younger fans are more predominantly the toy buyers.
I want a Luke where he's got some adult diapers on.
Well, like opposable ones.
Yeah,
like
the ones you can take off and on.
Yeah. Right, okay.
And
anatomically correct.
A brown stain appears with
new
Pete.
Fabulous Episode 8 Star Wars figures with Depends.
You know, yeah, when we went to the break and I said, God, this show's really moving along at a clip, isn't it? It's not doing that now.
And Leia, God rest her soul, could have had a Tenor Lady version, but I'm not even going to go there now. It would be wrong.
Yeah, let's steer clear of that, Steve, for reasons of...
The point is, I would buy a Luke figure. If they did it, I would buy a Luke figure.
Well, that's good to know. I'm sure they're pleased to know that they've locked
in. It is definitely coming. The Luke figure is definitely on its way.
Of course it is.
But these are the people that are going to carry this series forward.
Yeah.
It would be like marketing the original film on Alec Guinness.
Ooh.
That's just not a thing. He will be there. I think that what we're going to see is a massive comeback for Luke in this film. And to just for a minute consider addressing Connor's actual question.
There was a question here.
There was a question.
Ooh.
I like the artwork. I like he referenced Rey's Qui-Gon Jinn hairstyle. I like that. I don't think that was intentional, but I like the comparison to that. I like the I like seeing Finn and seeing that he's slightly different. You know that
he does look like he's. Did I leave the iron on?
And
well, he hasn't got a spine anymore, has he?
I'm sure he's still got a spine.
I think he's still got a spine.
Well, he Kylo. Like, I know what you mean. Right,
it's not like Pinocchio.
Yeah. Not like, I'm a real live boy.
That is absolutely the Skywalker lightsaber, though.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I think he's absolutely right that it could easily be misdirection, because let's not forget, it wasn't just the posters that were telling it, that were suggesting to us that Finn was the Jedi. Trailers were doing it too.
Oh,
they were full
they
on.
Hid. They absolutely they hid.
Absolutely right. Full on trying to tell
a black glove. Think Finn was a Jedi.
Okay. But I mean, the point is that was what was being kind of given to us.
Mugs.
Whether you truly
well, he had the black glove, didn't he? He wore to something.
Yeah. Yeah, the one black glove. Yeah, they were definitely moving that piece on the board for us to register that he was going to be our hero.
And you're right, Paul. That not everybody, you know, some people thought, oh, I think that's misdirection, and then some people didn't. I personally thought it was going to be. I thought he was going to be the Jedi in this one, but I was incorrect, and I'm okay with being incorrect.
In The Force Awakens, you mean?
Yeah, I thought you know, from the trailers, I thought that Finn was going to be the Jedi, and I had an explanation for why I thought he was going to be, and I can't remember what it was now, because obviously this is pre TSW life, if you can even imagine such a thing, because I certainly can't remember it. So, I had my theories on it, and I can't remember why, what it was about it that made me think he was, but I thought he was. You know, it wasn't just, it was, you know, partly the fact that the trailers were kind of leading you that way, but there was also something about it that escapes me now that I remember thinking,
I remember us going way back probably to just prior to TSW when we were still Movie Geeks Film News and us breaking down one of the trailers, and I'm pretty sure the census was that she was going to be more like Han and he was going to be like Luke. And that was one of the things that was tabled, because we were seeing a lot of, you know, she looked like Luke with being from the desert planet, and we knew that he was a stormtrooper because that was the first thing we saw.
Yeah.
But yeah, we suggested that he was going to be the Jedi coming from this Imperial background, and she was going to be more like Han, but coming from a Luke style background. So the reveal of her snatching that lightsaber from the snow would have been stunning if when we started Talk Star Wars I hadn't sort of unearthed a picture of a Rey action figure with the lightsaber showing that there was something else going on there.
This is why spoilers can ruin your fun.
It can ruin
but
that moment
always,
was still really
it's
impactful.
He dies, by the way.
I can't find any action figures, so she must die.
Paul's still doing his feature comms, and he's already at episode 10.
It's an interesting question, though, Paul. Who is going to die? Because someone will always die.
Yeah, well, let's deal with this one first.
Yeah, let's deal with a question that we haven't really tackled yet before we move on to another one.
It is a good question, Steve. You can ask it in a minute. You've got to quickly do some more show notes.
So let's get to this. Sorry,
I do like the idea of Luke using her.
That's what I was just going to get to.
Really, really sinister attachment to it, and I like that. So, yeah, she might be a pawn in a much bigger game of chess, basically.
Why bait to draw out the Knights of Ren from a position of hiding?
It might not be a deliberate thing. That's what he wants to do.
We
it
don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, it might be that he's accepted it as a side effect of what he wants to do. He knows that's going to happen, but he's prepared for it because of the greater good. Sword. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's been speculation that he's on there, you know, looking for a Jedi temple, and we know from Rebels that some Jedi temples need two people to open them. So he might be trying to kind of set events in motion to bring somebody to him to help him open this temple, knowing that one of the possible risks of that happening is that the Knights of Ren will kind of, you know, glom onto where he is.
Do you mean physically open the temple?
Yeah. Yeah,
can't you just put his lightsaber in? They opened a six-foot metal door with that.
We're talking big stone doors that are sealed with the Force.
Yeah, there's precedence for it in Star Wars Rebels. Yeah, it
may be that he's accepted. That's just part of the, you know, I'm going to have to draw them towards me. I know they're going to come, but I need a second person here to help me do this.
He certainly doesn't want to kill his nephew, does he?
I don't think so. He probably still thinks, I mean, history's shown he can redeem anybody. Mm. You know, as far as he's concerned, nobody is beyond saving, because the last time he tried it, he succeeded gangbusters.
That would be the way he looks at it as well, wouldn't it? That
he ended the galactic saving.
Don't see it as redemption, but salvation.
Yeah. I don't think we're ready to see Kylo redeemed quite yet, though, because we haven't really seen him in action as a baddie yet.
This is true. So I think
we've probably seen him get whooped.
We'll see that a bit.
He didn't do anything bad in the last film, did he?
No, he spoke about it, and
that's weird coming from you, Steve.
Killed Han. I know, but I don't like to mention that. But I mean, he was a bit all over the place, wasn't he?
Mm.
He was really strong, and then he got his ass whooped by, and not to upset the female listeners, but a girl.
Force. It's fair to say, Steve, an untrained girl.
An untrained,
which is actually a line from the movie.
Yeah,
I mean, it's it was a bit all over the place, his character. I want to see him hit a straight and sort of, this is what you're getting with this character. This is what he is.
He murdered those people in the first scene.
Yeah? He actually only killed Lor San Tekka.
Well, no, come on. He gave the order.
I mean, put it another way.
He did order it. He did want it done, but he didn't actually do
the Knights of Semantic. They didn't.
to put it another way, he seems to have got weaker during the film.
Well, it's because he's doubting himself, isn't it?
And, after he killed Han.
In contrast to the other characters getting stronger, though, Steve. That's what that is.
Yeah. And also, but you saw the flashback when he killed all those people in the rainstorm with the Knights of Ren.
Did he kill himself, and how many were, you know, was he delegating out to?
Kill that one over there, will you?
Well, it makes you wonder. You know, you've seen the results of his turn, but you haven't seen him swing the sword every time. And actually, I'll go back to what I said originally in my first ever email to TSW way back when. Han's line is not, you know, a boy turned to the dark side and killed everyone. His line is, a student turned to the dark side and destroyed it all.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to have killed everybody himself. It can easily be a mix of everybody helping him. Or actually, he's quite weak and he's kind of using his friends, manipulating his friends to do the dirty work for him. And it's only as he's gaining strength in kind of the dark side that he's actually able to swing the sword himself.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Good. That's helpful.
I think you probably are looking at misdirection. I think with that poster, it doesn't look a particularly well. And this, I say this with pinch of salt, but it doesn't look very well made. That it's poster, just, like thrown
it's,
together,
it's just toy art. It's not even a poster. It's just toy
it's interesting.
Art.
It's interesting, though, Steve, that you say that, because I was just listening to the latest Tumbling Saber today, and they picked it apart as well. And one of their comments was that some of the, what's it called? It was a little bit...
cabbages?
It's a little bit. Some of it was a little bit basic, you know, like they were saying about some of the shapes just looked like they were kind of chucked on just to fill the space rather than because they complemented the overall image, that sort of thing. So it was kind of, it does seem like it's a very vague thing at this stage. But then at the same time, that might not be, it's hard, I'm going to explain this as best I can. The image that we saw might not be everything that's on that box. Do you know what I mean? It might just be a layer. It might not be a white backdrop toy packaging. It might be that there's a layer that we're not seeing yet because it gives, you know, it might give too much away or it might just kind of, they want to sort of bring it out in gradual steps. So there's a good possibility that it might not be final toy art. It might be that it's going to be backdrop by something else You know, you imagine, like, for instance, if for Force Awakens, the toys that had the Starkiller base as a backdrop, that would have given loads away.
Yeah,
that's true.
So if they have something like this, where there's a backdrop that...
But if they're talking all over the Rogue One toys.
Exactly, you know, that sort of thing is easily given away.
Yeah, because the Rogue One stuff like was that, just the kind two... Hand-fisted. The Rogue One packaging was just the two Death Troopers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And an AT-AT, I think, was the predominant image. It's just, it's kind of like, it's hitting a theme. It's giving you a feel for what it is. They're our heroes from the last movie that we followed.
Yes.
If kids went to buy toys and there was some old hobo on there with a big grey beard and one metal hand, they're probably going to think, who's this? I've been reminded it was the guy that popped up in the last 60 seconds.
That's promising.
I need an adult.
I don't know. I don't think you're giving even the young fans of Star Wars enough credit. They will all undoubtedly watch I nearly got that wrong. The original trilogy, wouldn't they? Because if they're Star Wars fans and buying toys, they will have watched it and they'll know who Luke is.
It depends on how old they are, doesn't it? That's the thing. You know, I get what you're saying, Steve, that it's, you know, it's reasonable to assume that everybody who went to see Force Awakens saw the original trilogy, but I don't necessarily think it's a guarantee.
And you have to remember what's going in these boxes. They're toys going in the boxes. So you're going to have Rey's lightsaber. You're going to have Poe's helmet, Poe's X-Wing fighter. You're going to have Finn's blaster, Finn's jacket. If you produce Finn's a Luke spine. Toy, all you're going to have is a stinky cloak.
Yeah.
And some beard hair.
And some adult diaper.
And depends.
Action.
More than Steve will.
With all your action figure needs.
I'm fully clothed tonight, I'll have you know. You want to see?
Put your leaf on.
All right. Have we gotten through every point of this? Because this is the worst way we've ever dragged our cold carcasses for a Connor question.
Yeah, but we're slowly getting it. I'm just reading through the paragraph now. I think we've got a few of them, but I don't think we've done them all yet.
So let's do a quick round table
of what Luke could be up to. Do we think that Luke, because this goes back to our suggestion a couple of weeks ago, that Luke may have been behind the awakening. Someone emailed us and suggested that, didn't they?
Yes.
So if Luke was behind the awakening, that might be part of this plot. Is Luke plotting? Is he using Rey? Is he using the map to draw out the Knights of Ren? Is he revealing where he is intentionally? Paul?
I said he had a plan long ago.
And you think that's the case?
Yeah, and I hope so. I want it to be sinister as can be.
Okay.
I'm afraid. On another side, I think that picture is fantastic. I love it.
It's good. It's good.
I really like it.
Rob?
Especially the middle.
I think it's a deliberate act to... If he's making some sort of call or he set events in motion, I don't think it's to draw out the Knights of Ren, but I think he's accepted that as an inevitable side effect of what he's actually doing.
Which is to call
a Force-sensitive light side, you know, somebody who's kind of not, is like pure of heart, for lack of a better expression,
mm-hmm.
who's able to help him do what he wants to do. And then from there, I guess he'll kind of judge it based on what happens next.
Okay. Steve?
I think it's completely contrived by Luke. And also, I think that look on his face right at the end isn't one of all the different theories that have been discussed. I think it's a look of guilt because he's put her right there in danger and he had to.
Oh, that's a possibility.
Now, I like that because we see that look on Han's face when he's bringing her to Maz's castle.
I didn't know there was this much green in the whole galaxy.
That scene.
Yeah,
that, there's when he a looks look at her. On, there's a look on Han's face that's, oh, God, how have, you know, you should have stayed
how's
on
been
that.
Allowed, how's this been allowed to happen? Yeah.
Good call, Steve.
Or it's just pity in some form, isn't it? There's a sense of, oh, poor kids. Either way, regardless of to what extent, there's definitely a sense of he feels sorry for her that she's made that statement.
Absolutely.
She had to be there, and he had to get her to do it, and he's put her in harm's way. But that is the nature of the Force.
I don't think he looks remotely upset about the situation.
No.
Anyway, no, not at all. I think he looks calculated and almost. I've been waiting.
Oh, what, at the end of episode 7?
Yeah.
He looks totally resigned to something really bad.
Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't break down Mark's look in that scene. I think it's so enigmatic. I can't decide which way I would go with that. But I'd say in relation to the question, has Luke used Rey as bait? I'd say no. But I think I'm with Rob 100%. I think that he accepts the fact that when someone arrives, hell will follow with them. So he knows that game's on. And the minute he sees that lightsaber, he knows that this is a thing. This is all going to go off now, and they're back where they were 30 years ago, fighting the question, Dark Empire.
If Han and Chewie could track the Millennium Falcon, and they even say, if we can track it, then so can the new order?
First order.
I mean, aren't they just going to do that with the Falcon now and track him straight there? Maybe Luke knows that.
Well, bear in mind that thing's been on...
Disabled.
Well, no, it's been at the Rebel... It's been at the Resistance base. And it could have been removed. Chewie would have known that thing was there, so...
Okay.
And that tracker could have been removed. And I suspect that tracker was probably the one that was fitted at Bespin, which I like. I like that idea. I don't know if that's canon, but I like that idea. Okay. Connor, we ruined that. Thanks. We cut that up like a kid making a paper doll. So I hope you got something out of that, sir. Thank you very much for taking the time to write into us again. Should we do Twitter poll results then? Disappointing Twitter poll results, and I'll get this week's new one ready to go.
Is it disappointing because you didn't get the result you were expecting, or just...
No. I would say that was probably the result I was expecting. It was disappointing because it didn't quite have the reach that we've had recently. So last week's Twitter poll question was, who would you have liked to have seen cast in Star Wars in 1977 instead of our stars? Would you like Kurt Russell as Han Solo, Jodie Foster as Princess Leia, Orson Welles as Darth Vader, James Woods as Han Solo? All of these people actually went up for roles, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Now this only reached 1,081 people, only got 46 votes, so clearly people don't want to consider a world where Star Wars doesn't have our heroes in it.
Okay.
And Kurt Russell absolutely stormed the field here and took it with 59%.
I'm not surprised. He's the one from that list who immediately jumps out as me as the most like Harrison without being Harrison the choices available.
I find the 4% that Jodie Foster got as Leia to be really comforting, because that shows me just how indelible Carrie was.
I don't necessarily think that Jodie Foster would have done a bad job, to be honest.
No, I think she would have done a great job. She's
terrific.
In Taxi Driver, she's an amazing actress, but...
That'd have been a bit clinical. Carrie Fisher's slightly... I hate to say it, because Jodie Foster is my god in a nutshell, but I think Carrie Fisher's probably a little warmer, maybe.
Yeah.
I guess. Definitely. That naivety,
You know the problem? The Princess Leia we know isn't the Princess Leia that was on the page when these actors read. So what Jodie brought to the character then would have made Princess Leia very different, and we could be
in a
conversation about whether Carrie Fisher would have done it justice, you know?
Might affect, you know, the casting situation might affect semi-rewrite situations as well.
True.
And they thought Leia was very stoical anyway in Star Wars.
Yeah, much she like...
She was very stolid all the way through, really. She was royalty, so she was, like our royalty, very good at holding in one's emotions.
Yeah, quite restrained and very, you know. Yeah, I think, you know, it's much like the discussion we were having earlier about mothers. A different take on the script that would have gone more heavily into the family background stuff, while it would have been... what we, you know, had it happened, we would be still thinking of it as, oh, that's, you know, that's Star Wars. But I think with the benefit of hindsight, it doesn't quite gel. And in the same way, you know, whether or not Carrie Fisher would do it justice, but did you?
We lost you there very briefly.
I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. But, you know, in the same way that we'd be looking back and thinking, would Carrie have done it justice if things were different and Jodie Foster had done it? That's with the benefit of hindsight, we know that didn't happen. So I don't think we can ever have a truly kind of...
No, but what I mean truly, is the character that was formed on the page would then be informed by Carrie's performance, which yes, means absolutely. That swapping the actress out, you wouldn't have the same character. So it's very difficult to say whether Jodie would have done justice to the character of Leia because of how we're in this situation now with Alden Ehrenreich's cast as Han Solo. Nobody sees it as being possible.
Good timing.
No one sees that as being possible because Harrison Ford, you can't separate Harrison Ford and Han Solo. It's very difficult to pick those two things apart. They coexist so neatly. So imagining somebody stepping into that black vest is very, very difficult. And we're very, you know, most of fandom is quite resistant to letting the guy have a fair crack at it.
Yeah. And
that's because Harrison did such a good job of shaping this character from what he was on the page. Remember, he was supposed to be very different, as all these characters were very different. Even 3PO was supposed to be like a used car salesman. He didn't take on his form until Anthony Daniels was in there and the voice worked and the two performances, the physical performance and the and the voice work that Anthony ended up doing permanently. They went hand in hand and you couldn't separate it. It just didn't work. So these things leapt off the page and became their own entities in a way. So a question like this is very difficult because you can't say Kurt Russell would have been a great Han Solo. It would have been a very different Han Solo. It may have been a better Han Solo than the one we got, but it would have been very, very different fundamentally.
Sure, absolutely.
But we wouldn't know either way anyway.
We wouldn't
know. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I think Kenny sat down and went beepity beep, boop, beep.
Well, he did a lot of stuff. If you listen to Kenny talk about the performance inside that R2, he did a lot of things like, you know, he said he'd have wide eyes and he'd smile and, you know, he'd bring the energy to his performance inside because that, it's like working under latex or working behind a mask. It will come through. The performance will come through. If you put the work in, it will come through that material. Like Anthony Daniels inside 3PO, it came through. His personality came through that suit. So Kenny did a lot of that. I don't know whether he made the noises, but he did a lot of that stuff, that physical performance and smiling and all that, because it informed what he was doing inside, gave the thing energy. That's why it worked. That's why I'm glad that they've put Jimmy V in R2 for the next few movies, because it needs that personal touch.
I thought Peter Mayhew should have been given a shot.
What, in R2?
Yeah.
That would have been a very different droid, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Feet and arms hanging out the side.
Slight tangent, Mark. Did you watch the film? The Peter Mayhew film?
I did.
The documentary?
I did.
What did you think?
I thought it was great. And I think it's. I would highly recommend it. I'm glad.
What was it called again? I can't remember.
I Am Your Father.
I'm Your Father.
I Am Your Father. It's a David Prowse documentary.
And did it
Netflix.
Change your opinion on how they treated him?
I saw his side of the story.
Mm.
And up until now, it's really only been Lucasfilm's side of the story. So I think it gave another perspective, and it's well worth a watch. So if you've got Netflix, check out I Am Your Father on there. It's the fact that they don't show you the scene they shot is quite frustrating.
I know.
But it's a very well-made, thought-provoking documentary.
Nice.
Anyway, let's do next week's Twitter poll. So Paul and I kicked this around today, and this is the one that we came up with. Who's the most important character in new Star Wars canon of these four? I've put some hashtags. I'm not going to read those. So who's the most important character in new Star Wars canon? Is it Rey? Is it Luke Skywalker, Kylo Ren, or Snoke? And I am tweeting that now. And that will be momentarily... Everybody be patient. Hey,
there you go. Luke Skywalker, 100%. Wow. I knew that would happen.
That Twitter poll is now pinned to our profile, so you can go and cast your votes there. There's no campaigning, Stephen, and we will get you the results in a couple of weeks, which is probably a good place for me to say I'm not going to be around for a couple of weeks. So we have got lots of programming planned for you, and there may or may not be something.
Where are you going, Mark?
New, away. And I'm going to find the sun because I hear reports, nasty rumours that it still exists.
I think that's the person.
There will be some stuff out there in your feeds. It just won't have me on it for a couple of weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get into some Star Wars news then. Star Wars Celebration. Hasbro are releasing a new range of 6-inch black figures, Black Series figures. I know Paul's going to really enjoy this.
What was that?
6-inch black.
Oh, God, let me do that again then. Jesus Christ.
You can't put 6-inch black and not expect me to say something.
Save it for the after dark.
I thought you wanted me to.
Goodness me.
Why would you put it in there if not for me to go...
Oh, for God's sake, right.
I'm misreading this.
Honestly, there's going to be another podcast worth of stuff on the cutting room floor. Right, Star Wars Celebration news. Hasbro are releasing a new range of Black Series figures that may or may not be 6 inches in height to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Star Wars. They are beautiful, they are on vintage-looking cards, and I'm hoping to pick up the Luke in the X-Wing fighter thing at Celebration. It's a Celebration exclusive. Guys, did you see this range?
I didn't, no. Some of the 40th anniversary stuff. I saw some of it. I didn't see everything.
They're awesome.
They are stunning. It's the first 12.
Okay.
And there's a special edition you can buy that has like the early bird certificate box, but a 6-inch version of it. So like twice the size of the original.
Yeah, and right, let's have a look at the. I'm going to have a look at the whole lot while we're talking because I've only seen the. There was somebody had posed the main three into one of the kind of poses from one of the iconic Star Wars poster things. So I only saw that, but
all right. Is that the action figures you're looking at or the titanium?
It was. I'm fairly sure it was the action figures. Like I say, sort of posed into a thing, but hang on, there it is. Yeah, I found it. Yeah, it was the action figures. Yeah, but they're posed into a sort of similar. I've seen that pose before, and it, like I say, it's from A New Hope. But I've just seen the set now.
Hang on.
They are rather nice.
I'm thinking of the wrong set, Mark.
Ah,
are you thinking of the titanium ones, Paul?
I want the 4 inches.
They are kind of cool.
They are nice, really nice.
Have they got a black etched? Like on silver backdrop to each one.
Yes.
Like those in the 80s used to get those pictures that they used to scratch out the black, that kind of picture. There's a name for that, isn't there?
With the whooshing of
the lightsaber. The Moloch of the right ones. They've got like
Force effects.
Yes. Yeah, titanium and black series centerpiece.
Oh yeah, no, that's not. Oh, okay. That's not the black series figures that you're looking at. That's a separate collection of really high end, gorgeous.
Yeah, they do look nice.
Casts,
oh, okay.
They are. They're not like the 5-point of articulation action figures. But these do look great.
Yeah, I'll have to have a look then.
There's Princess Leia. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can call up what the actual release schedule is for them, because they're coming out in two waves and they just look breathtaking, these things.
They're lovely, yeah, really nice.
Something I no doubt Jeremy will be buying because he's
for sure.
So you can go to talkstarwars.co.uk and you can see I've put a post up that's Star Wars 40th Black Series figures.
Okay,
they're the ones I want.
Oh, is that Mark? Is that talkstarwars.co.uk? Yeah,
it is talkstarwars.co.uk. And you can see the
actual. Is that site any good?
Oh, great. And that's a really nice, really easy and convenient place to find everything. That's really useful.
All in one place. So the first wave that comes out in April consists of Han Solo, Princess Leia, Ben Kenobi, Luke Skywalker in the Farm Boy kit, Luke Skywalker X-Wing pilot, which is the Celebration Orlando exclusive, R2-D2 and Darth Vader. But you can also pick up the Darth Vader with the Legends or the Legendary set, which looks like the early bird display thing.
Okay.
And then wave two comes out, and wave two includes Chewbacca, C-3PO, Stormtrooper, the Jawa in a vinyl cape, the Death Star Commander, and the Tusken Raider, and it says on the label Sand Person as well. And I really, if I was only to get two, it would be R2 and 3PO, because they look incredible. There are also some retailer exclusives as well, which include a exclusive R5-D4, which I really like.
Right.
But yeah, definitely the Luke in X-Wing. That will be, if I only get one, it'll be that.
Nice. But I might have to go for the Vader. Because that is rather special.
It does look pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what it reminds me of, actually, to a point, some of these figures remind me of the Kenner Power of the Force 97 reissues.
Yeah.
Is it 97?
Just not quite something as like hench.
Not quite as hench, no. Luke doesn't look like he's been doing nothing but bicep and tricep.
Yeah. Paul, you'd like the Jawas.
All of them.
All of them. Yep. You should buy yourself a whole collection. Okay, right. Let's move on.
Here comes the window cleaner.
Also at the in the celebration section, there's a post.
Stop.
What's up, mate?
I just sent you a picture. Is that the same set?
Let me see.
You might have to scroll down a bit. This is
superb. Tend to have this.
It's got all the original back cards, but obviously the newer figures.
And that's the one, yeah.
They're 40, all 6 inches?
Yeah, that's all 6 inches, yeah.
I don't want them anymore.
Fair enough. More for us.
Don't have them then, Paul.
They're too tall.
More for us to go around.
It takes away the point of Star Wars figures when they're that tall.
Yeah, but they look. That's how. I don't know if there is a correlation here, but I imagine holding one of these 6-inch figures is like smaller versions of us holding the 3 3/4-inch figures.
No, but I haven't grown since then.
That is very, very true. Also on our show notes, you'll see the 40th anniversary poster from Star Wars Celebration. Which is kind of a sepia. My initial reaction to this poster was, this looks cool, but I'm now starting to not think that so much.
Okay.
It's a little bit too busy, a little bit too much on the old floating head side of things.
I can see what you're saying, yeah.
Very, it's got a lot going on
there,
isn't it?
It's got there is a lot going on, yeah.
It's beautiful, what are you talking about?
Yeah, see, that was my initial reaction.
It doesn't need all those characters. If it's for 40th anniversary, it just needs New Hope.
Yeah, but it's celebrating all the stars of the
It's Star Wars Celebration. Orlando.
That's true.
I'm completely with Paul, and we never agree.
Who had the 23rd of February?
For you to realise you're wrong. If we're agreeing, something's very wrong with what you're saying.
Who had the 23rd of February as the day that finally happened?
Yeah, not me. I never thought it would happen.
Seriously.
Paul is Swiftish.
No, you're fair enough. I didn't think about it from that point of view. So, yeah, I suppose that's true. I would still say that.
The design is just a bit cluttered.
Yeah, it just seems like
you're
a lot.
You're upset because Obi-Wan's tiny.
No, I think it's very busy. There's no Krennic, so there's that.
There's no Obi-Wan when he's old, is there? There's
no old Obi-Wan.
There's none of the Rogue One lot.
No, none of them at all.
Yeah, because I think they're dealing with Saga, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but it's still a celebration, right?
It's got the silly stormtrooper that was really naff in episode 7. What's her name?
Phasma.
What?
Phasma. Captain Phasma.
But it does.
Obi-Wan when he's old. And Captain Phasma, that don't make sense. I'm disagreeing now, it's crap.
Okay, well, that happened quickly. All right, so there's that anyway. Hopefully they'll be giving one of these away because I still want it, even though I find it to be...
Another
interjection. Other than Anakin, there's one representation for each character, which is why there's one Ben. So the only person really missing from this is Tarkin, to be honest, and the Emperor.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. It's awesome again. I like it.
And Lando.
Lando.
That's racist.
No, he's in the Falcon.
No, Finn's on there, Steve. It's fine. They've got representation.
In the Death Star.
Who have?
Palpatine. No,
who are you calling they?
The people who made the poster, Steve. What do you think I meant? You're going to trap me on something. You might want to trap me on something I did wrong rather than just basic point of fact. just as a pro tip.
All right,
who are you calling you people?
Let's move on before we
didn't happen.
Jar Jar news. We had Jar Jar news this week, but we have decided to drop it.
Don't say the Jar Jar word.
It's a little bit spoilery.
Contentious.
The book came out today, so yes.
Yeah, very spoilery. It wouldn't be today by the time this podcast goes out.
Doesn't matter. I don't think most people are going to have read it in, 4 days? People have got stuff to do.
I don't think most people will read it at all, to be honest, because it's...
Entirely possible. But I think the kind of people who listen to us might.
I probably won't be touching that one.
I'll probably read.
Moi.
Rogue One, A Star Wars Story now. So there is a book coming out that I may well pick up. It's coming out in July. It's called Inferno Squad, and it is a direct sequel to Rogue One.
That sounds pretty cool.
That does sound pretty cool.
Interesting. Bear in mind they all died.
Yeah, but this is from the Empire's position.
I was going to say, I don't think it follows the characters so much.
They send out Inferno Squad to hunt down the guys that stole the plans. It sounds pretty cool, and I wonder if this will be the group that, you know, I said when we, what were we doing? We were doing Empire, the audio commentary for Empire.
Yeah.
And I said, I jokingly said that paragraph, the Empire has chased them from their secret base. You remember the first paragraph in the opening crawl? I said, that's the story I want to see. This might be it.
Yeah, it could well be.
So I may have just got what I really wanted.
So
it comes out in July. I'll be looking forward to picking that. Hopefully I'll get the audio book of that one. And it looks like April 10th is the release date for the Blu-ray for Rogue One.
That seemed to be the case, yes. Indeed.
I had that confirmed today because I ordered the 3D Blu-ray and Amazon let me know when it's coming.
I'm holding off just while I decide which format I want to go with first.
I'm going for all the formats.
I may not. I'm kind of looking at finances and thinking, can I?
I've got to. I'm
thinking nearer the time I will have, you know, a better handle on that stuff, and certain things you can pre-order right up until the last minute. So
I wish that they still gave away the iTunes copies with Blu-rays, but a way I'm glad they don't, because they were never HD. So now I get the HD
version. That's very true.
But I can still go to my Blu-ray when I want the hard copies. So.
Very true.
Looking forward to that. There are some feature breakdowns on Talk Star Wars on the site, on talkstarwars.co.uk. We won't go through them all, but I'll just open them up now just so we can hit some of the greatest hits. Some of the special features that are coming include, I think it's John Knoll talking about some of the creation. The site's not loading for some reason. There we go. April the 10th. Yeah, so here ILM's John Knoll came up with the movie's concept and why it's the right film to launch Star Wars standalone series. So that's a really good insight to have, what made them decide to make that movie. Some stuff about Cassian, stuff about Kato. So it looks like there's a bunch of character profiles on there. I really like the look of some of this stuff. So I hope I don't have to double dip later in the year, but I'm really quite keen to get my hands on this thing. Anyone else picking it up? You're deciding on a platform, aren't you, Rob?
Yeah, ask me again nearer the time and I'll tell you how many I'm getting.
Paul, you'll own it, won't you, because you need to do an audio commentary.
Okay.
And Stephen?
What she said.
Will you be buying it?
No.
Not even in 4K?
The 4K is another contentious issue because... Oh, Andy no. and I were talking. Yeah, good night, Paul. Paul's still on 480p, and that was an upgrade. The trouble is, with it at the moment, it is, and I'm sure a lot of listeners will actually agree with this. It's very scrappy. There's no one reason to buy it. There's not a lot of media, and you know that isn't really expensive. And there's very little in the way of bulk, so you couldn't like redo your series at the moment and get rid of Blu-rays and start buying it. The games machines will, you know, the consoles, the Pro is kind of half-assed. The Xbox Scorpio might be the answer, but that's not until Christmas or holiday season in America. You know, HDR is still up in the air. Even the new Samsung 4K TVs, you have to go into all the settings to enable HDR to run with consoles, and it's quite... Digital Foundry just did a whole big thing on it, and it's really complex. And... It's all over the place. I just want to... Everyone agrees, yeah, we're doing 4K now. That's the new medium.
Yeah.
You know, and then you buy one. Why does it have to be so complicated all the time? And people don't know what they want anymore. Mm. Does all that make sense?
Feel better?
Yeah.
The rant is over now.
I think that's fair.
I agree with you completely.
I think that's fair enough.
Okay.
So I do want one. And yes, I would buy it on 4K just to have something awesome on 4K, but then what? You know, it's just, even streaming wise, you know, you can't It's just, I could start again. Like, you've got the PlayStation who make Blu-rays not having a media player in there. Yeah.
This should be where I just fade Steve out in the edit. Yeah. Just leave him talking and just fade him down.
The irony is, I really want a lovely 4K TV, but I've got a horrible suspicion I'll just sit there watching the demo.
Right. Why would you do that? That's just silly. Because that's not Sony's fault. That's just you being weird.
And lazy. Because he'd only do that because he's lost the remote control.
No, there is. It's just not, you know, in the moment now, he hasn't even been adopted mainstream yet. And no, they're already talking about 8K. For God's sake.
Don't get seduced by all of that. That's all smoke and mirrors.
Tech companies are always looking at the next thing.
I know.
That's true everywhere.
But yeah. I have seen a lovely 78-incher that I want.
Giggity. All right, let's move on, because this is wandering into After Dark Side. Like, subject indeed. Matter, not content, yeah. Not like the swearing.
Why? Because you said giggity about 78 inches.
And we're on to Last Jedi news. So, as always, potential spoilers for The Last Jedi. It turns out Last Jedi is plural, according to the translation of the title from Spanish and then later from the French.
Italian a lot. They all came out within a couple of hours. I think there was just a big kind of tidal wave of.
Raises more questions than it answers. I've tried to put, because I left one word out, but it doesn't really do us any favours, does it? It's like we're saying, aha, but what? To do?
Ray
becomes a Jedi. Ray becomes a Jedi. She gets trained, a bit like... She?
No.
It's really scary, this, isn't it? It's Empire again.
Ray's Empire. Banter fodder.
Why is it Empire?
Because Rey's going to go there. She's not fully adopted. Well, she hasn't had any training in the Force that we know of that hasn't been suppressed in her memory. He's going to have to train her quickly. Huh?
Right. We've known this from... But when this film comes out, we've known that's what Rey was going to be doing for nearly 2 years, right?
What, training?
Yeah.
Well, you don't know for sure.
Well, she didn't just turn up and go, look, I understand this is yours. I've got to go.
Lost this. You missed something, mate.
Yeah.
Well... No, but I've got a horrible suspicion that they're going to say, well, it works in Empire. Let's do a nice montage. We're going to do a montage. And they're going to, you know, dump that log and climb the hairy vine.
I hope they don't go down the montage route. I really hope they don't.
They are. And they go...
I don't think they
gonna
will.
Going to be a backpack while you climb. Jump on a hairy vine.
Is there any chance that the other Jedi referenced are Kanan and Ezra?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's entirely plausible. I don't know if I'd want to see it. They could probably explain it away in dialogue, but I'm kind of hesitant about it for the same reasons I would be hesitant as Ezra as Snoke and all that stuff. It's because, again, it's the TV show informing the films, whereas it should be the other way around and always should be. So unless they could explain it away as they could be part of a bigger group. And again, it would be that fan service thing of I recognize them, and the people who've watched the TV show can give themselves a little pat on the back, and everybody else can just go, oh, they're part of a group of Jedi. That's cool.
Yeah.
What if Luke reveals that Rey has a brother and he's there with him? And both of them are the Last Jedi.
Mm. That's very close to Luke and Leia, though, isn't it?
Well, why not? Because we were in Heir to the Empire. The twins were supposed to be Leia and Han.
Wouldn't we know a little bit about the casting of this character?
What, the...
Depends.
I don't know. It'd be interesting,
out,
wouldn't it?
The film's out in a few months.
Well, and Luke's hidden him away all that time.
I don't know. I don't imagine it will take that dramatic a turn, because they've just put all these new characters centre stage for us and bring in another one.
Yeah, true.
Boy, they killed Han. They've got a space.
Yeah, I don't know. Or you might have something there, Steve. I don't like it. I don't want it.
We don't like that he might be onto something as well.
Yeah, dealer's choice. No, I don't like... the idea that they'll show us Rey, and then they'll bring this another character out and say, look, there's a bloke, just in case you didn't like the girl.
Roy. Or really spin it on its head, another girl, twin sisters, and they're fighting together. Like, they're both completely tuned into each other because they're twins.
No, because they'll dilute the Kylo Ren story.
Wrenchmen.
All right, let's move on before we get lost in that. So this is exciting. Certain scenes,
my opinion,
were filmed in IMAX. Did you want? Did you have an opinion on the?
Oh, shove it.
Sisters. Paul is the sister.
So you know, at the start of this, we said this is going to be a short show, and people won't have to do the endurance thing when they listen to another really long one. Yep, hour and a half later. So certain scenes of this film were shot in IMAX with IMAX cameras. So your experience in IMAX will be different. It will open up to fill the frame.
See, that annoys me. If you've watched it in IMAX, why doesn't the whole film open up to fill the frame?
It will. In certain scenes. In certain
scenes.
No, I don't
want it in certain scenes. I want it in a certain point of view. I want it all the way.
Ooh.
Otherwise, I want to be in one cinema where it's not IMAX and only pay, and they move you all in to the IMAX.
Have you ever considered the possibility that you'll never be happy with anything?
No, I'm not happy with that.
I want the end credits to be in IMAX and nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make.
Do you know what
really
I mean, though? Does anyone see my port? Paul, come on. You're
on the go with the 480 type things. Steve, I've got a 480 telly, don't forget. So I don't.
That's what I mean.
He's
but
still
why,
eyeing up that
576p. Is it going to pop open when you get the scene, Mark? Is that what you're talking about? Sorry.
When you get to the like with the Force Awakens, when you got to the escape from Jakku. It popped open to full screen.
But why isn't the whole film in IMAX?
Because they didn't shoot the whole thing in IMAX. They only did it for that effect so that when you get to those big epic scenes.
Like lots of films do it.
You had a format change.
Yeah, well, Batman Begins, Batman the Trilogy.
Dark Knight did it.
Yeah, it had the Dark Knight Rises. Scene. Yeah.
Mm. They were a good set, because I remember I'm watching it on a 16:9 TV. It's like, whoa, it's filled the whole screen up. This is what I bought the TV for. But it was like, oh, this is, I'm looking at technology. I'm not in the film anymore because it just changed, the little black bands disappeared. Do you know what I mean? It kind of takes you out of it.
Right.
If I'm watching something in IMAX and you've paid to go and see it in IMAX, wouldn't you want all the scenes in IMAX?
I don't know. I mean, I've never really, I must say, I've never noticed the difference. I've been to see IMAX before. In fact, I saw Force Awakens. One of the showings I went to see was IMAX. And I didn't really pick up on which bits were IMAX. I'm probably not the target audience, really. So maybe I'm not the best person to ask.
Mm.
Oh, well, what do you think, Mark? You're the techno geek.
I like it, but it's like, you know, it's like watching it in 3D, and you choose to have that experience, but then you can go back and you can watch it in your regular format and still get as much out of it when you just want to watch the movie. But there's just another layer of enjoyment when you're watching it on a giant screen and then suddenly the picture gets even bigger.
Can I ask you a question? When they eventually release it on Blu-ray,
mm-hmm.
will it pop into full 16:9 at those moments as well?
Probably not.
So how come Dark Knight did that?
They did that especially.
Right. Okay.
Dark Knight Rises doesn't do it, or at least it doesn't do it on the digital version. I'm not sure about the Blu-ray. I don't think I've owned the Blu-ray, but I've got the digital version of Dark Knight Rises, and it doesn't do it.
So it'll be letterboxed all the way through?
Most likely, yeah.
Okay. Did you remember, though, I remember having a massive discussion with you, Mark, about 2351, is it?
Yeah.
And those TVs, the Panasonic did one, didn't they? Proper, fully widescreen cinema TV. Now, weren't they fantastic? And no one bought any, and it died a death.
Because there wasn't, it's like you were saying about 4K, because there's no native media for it.
Mm.
Such a shame.
Yeah. Anyway. Let's move on to Han Solo news because we're nearly at the end. So the cast photo dropped this week. This is the big one.
Yes.
Cast photo dropped this week. And it seemed to confirm that 25th of May is the release date. 25th of May 2018 is the release date for this film.
Okay.
That was on StarWars.com, so it has to have some credibility.
Indeed.
And so we have the image there in the show notes for your reference. So we get Phil Lord and Chris Miller at the controls of the Falcon. And then we get Woody Harrelson, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Alden Ehrenreich, Amelia Clark, Juno Suomoto as Chewie. Very impressive-looking Chewie as well.
Yeah, Donald very Butler much so.
As our Lando Calrissian.
He looks great in that photo. He looks great. I will say, absolutely yeah. spot on.
Let's pick
this. Where did they find
apart?
A guy that looked just like Chewie?
Yeah, he's a good bit of casting.
Same facial hair and everything. It's he's uncanny. Really
good. And yeah. the bandolier is actor's own as well.
All yeah. those packs of Lambert and Butler.
I was going to say, he's just, you know, it's no wonder he can't talk properly. He's got that, just he must be just working his way through phlegm constantly. Also, we shouldn't laugh. It's an addiction. You know, it's terrible.
So I did a Facebook Live before we recorded into the VIP group, and we discussed this image very, very briefly. And Dave Donovan pointed out how new the interior of the Falcon looked to him. I'm not.
Really?
Yeah,
no, it looks all dirty on my picture.
I think it's the lighting. There are no dice, because that you would see the dice in that shot. what do we make of? Is there anything hidden in this picture? Do we think?
And.
Well, no, he's clearly in the centre, Paul. You're going to have to get over this issue you've got. And he's double denim. He's on double denim duties.
Hey, everybody does. He you know, it's brave. DD'd, it's brave. I think. I DD. That's cool. I don't see a problem with it.
And he's got Indiana Jones leather jacket on.
Just putting it out there that you know he's just as I'm just as cool as Alden Ehrenreich. I'd love to think if I'm DD, if I'm double deniming.
So moving swiftly on. so it makes me start to wonder whether he's going to be acting as Han. And I really hope he is. And I know we've done this time and time again, in which case, why didn't they get Anthony Ingubia, because he can
Natalie
do it best.
Natalie
Imbruglia.
It's like...
Do you reckon he's going to,
a
Mark?
Fever dream. Incidentally. We have the same conversation over
know,
and over again.
Yeah. Things do
The reason Anthony Ingubia wasn't cast was because he couldn't deliver the performance that this guy can. And that's yeah. just... That's not.
Absolutely
no one's made that press release. It's just that's why you can't.
Really
of course, I'm down with the kids, but I want to know whether he's going to be trying to act like
no.
Harrison
be,
Ford.
He will be
did.
Acting as Han Solo. He won't be. Yeah. He yes. won't be doing an impersonation of Harrison
as,
Ford.
As an interesting aside, about speaking of Anthony Gruber, did you see there was a story about it? It might have been a clickbait thing, just kind of reading too much into it. But apparently, about 2 hours after this cast photo dropped, he put up a headshot on Twitter apropos of nothing, mm-hmm. with no comments and stuff attached to it. People were kind of thinking maybe he was, you know, trying to throw a bit of what's it called? Throw a bit of shade.
Throwing some shade at it. Yeah.
What's funny is that I've seen the headshot and it's the least like Harrison Ford I've ever seen him look. So I think it actually kind of backfired.
Right.
Can I put something out there, Rob?
Apparently, yes. Increasingly,
it's going to be contrary to what we're talking about.
Right.
Your opinions.
When
does
that ever... Oh, right, I was going to say...
Mark said, he's going to be acting like Han Solo, mm-hmm. not Harrison Ford. I'm sorry, yes. Harrison Ford is Han Solo.
Yeah,
and if you're going to pull this off, it's got to be...
He's
going to have those
yeah,
little quirks.
He's not playing the same character. He's playing a character
yeah,
10
he's still
years
gonna,
younger.
Of course, but
so
he's going
to
have
be,
that
yeah.
way of walking. Isn't
well, we
he?
Don't.
It's got to feel like Han Solo.
We don't know.
And in all,
we don't know how
this,
this
might
guy
be,
started
this might
out.
Be a kind of yeah. This might be a you know, like a, for lack of a better expression, a coming of age film. It's got, you know, this might be a character building one.
You two are scruffy looking nerf herders.
Well, you say that, Steve. First of all, that's our word. But also, you know, let's not forget let's not forget that if we think back to Rogue One. Guy Henry was not playing Peter Cushing. He was playing Tarkin. There is a difference.
Yeah.
Because otherwise Peter Cushing would play the same part in every film, which I don't think he does.
Yeah. I think that there is a distinction anymore. There. It's very, very...
Well, no, certainly.
It's
no.
very, very difficult to sort
it's
of...
It's a mixture of the two, isn't it?
It is. And
yeah.
I don't
that's what
think
I was trying to get at. I should have said that
But that's the point.
We
you
really
know,
liked
it's...
Anthony Ingruber, and we really wanted yeah. to champion him for this role.
We put him out there as somebody we'd be happy to see.
Yeah, and it would have been great yeah. for him to have a chance. But I've got nothing but confidence in the casting director, and I'm sure yeah. they've seen a quality in Alden Ehrenreich that they like.
Mm.
The directors know that they can get the performance and the characterization that they're looking for from him.
Yeah,
and look at these people in this photograph. I think there's chemistry there.
I think so, yeah.
You know, they're clearly...
They had a fight as soon as the picture was taken.
Yeah, true.
I suspect that we might be seeing a crew, and it might not be.
Ooh, okay.
Han might not be the top dog. I think
he might be. He might just be the one who leaves with the Falcon.
A member of the crew. So interesting. The Falcon might be populated by, if Woody's character is Gareth Strike, then Gareth Strike, Han, Chewbacca, Lando, whoever Emilia Clarke's playing, and the droid played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Mm-hmm. That's why Tandy Newton isn't in this photograph, because she might play the antagonist.
Yeah,
so possibly. Which would be great if we had a female crime lord and these guys were smuggling, you know, whatever. This could go in a million different ways, but I like the idea that these people were selected for this photograph because they're going to be like the team at the centre of this story. And one by one, these characters will fall away. And the Falcon will end up with Han and Chewie in the final shot. And Lando, we won't meet up with Lando again until either a standalone film or Empire.
Yeah,
I reckon they pull up really slowly at Bespin and throw him out the back.
Yeah, and they throw his low. There was an idea that ran across my mind as well for a brief second.
Yeah.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge might be Lando's droid. And she might be Lobot. And then that AI gets downloaded into that headset and put on the lobotomized human.
Okay, that's interesting.
It would be a radical departure because I know that there's been some expansion on Lobot's origin in the comic books.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a little bit of an odd. That would be one to explain away.
It would be really wild, wouldn't it?
I think it's too confusing, to be honest.
Yeah, I
don't know if I'd be able to get my head around that.
It would require an awful lot of detail.
If you were a kind of, for lack of a better expression, a kind of layperson when it came to Star Wars, you know, certainly expanding the universe, that would be a really hard one to wrap your head around.
It would be, yeah. It would be. And it would change the, because there'd be a gender dynamic at play that would shift completely between this movie and Empire. Yeah. But looking at this, do you remember when they released the first cast photo for it was a table read for The Force Awakens, a black and white shot, and they were all sat around and there were boxes. R2 was in a box in the corner, and you had Harrison, Daisy and Carrie sat together, and you had Adam Driver sitting with Andy Serkis. They say that they plop these people together in certain ways because that's the dynamic that you're going to see, the relationships you're going to see. And I just wonder if this picture, there might be some clues here.
Yeah.
As to who these, like, if you see Woody and Phoebe Waller-Bridge together in this image, maybe she's his droid.
Mm-hmm.
You see Han and, see Alden Ehrenreich and Emilia Clarke together. Maybe there's a love interest there. And the thing that
Or a
perceived one.
Maybe she rebuffs him.
Maybe. Maybe they're contemporaries. I like the idea that they're contemporaries more, I think.
I like that.
What we know what's in front of Han. But Lando leaning over into the pilot seat, into the captain's chair of this shot, really speaks volumes to me that that's what they're setting up, that this is a period where the Falcon's his ship.
Yeah.
But I may be reading way more into this photograph than I need to. It might just be...
I'm sure we could deconstruct it for hours.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not hours, hour.
I think it's really cool. Yeah. I really like it. I think there was an Annie Leibovitz shot of John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, I don't know if it was Junus or Peter inside Chewbacca, and Harrison Ford on the bridge of the Falcon for The Force Awakens. Do you remember that shot? There was a primary shot. It might have been for Vanity Fair. It's on the site. You can head over there and have a look at it. It's really cool, and it's very reminiscent of this. In the cockpit of the Falcon.
Yeah, I suppose so. I never really thought about it, but I guess you're right. Yeah,
it's awesome. I think it's going a long way to set up what we're in for. But has anyone got anything they want to add to this before we wrap up for the week? Paul, what's your take on this image?
Don't know yet. To be honest. I'm most excited about the guy on the far right.
Yes.
Made no secret of.
I think most of us are, to be honest. I think he is their secret weapon, wasn't he?
Still want to know when Han's going to be cast.
Steve?
Yeah, I think it's a nice. There are some great actors in it, haven't they? You know,
They're building a hell of a pedigree.
They've got a lot to live up to with Rogue One, but hopefully it will be pulled off.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the other thing as well. I think there may be, if there is a negative to this, underrepresentation would be the thing, wouldn't it?
That you in what respect?
Well, if you look at the incredibly diverse cast of Rogue One,
right,
and then you look in this image here, there's an awful lot of white faces. I know that that's not.
Don't.
That's not take necessary.
Take that back to Tumblr, Mark. Come on.
Yeah, it's not. That's not the first thing I thought of.
Didn't
when
even
I saw
think
this.
About that.
No, but there's.
No, it's because you. Yeah, I find that kind of line of thinking a little bit. I resent that immeasurably as a line of thinking.
It's needlessly reductive. But I just think they did such a good job with the representation in Rogue One that
You have also got Tandy, who's not in the shot.
Indeed. Yeah.
So I think that
we don't know who's going to populate the rest of the cast.
Exactly. This is the thing. I think that the idea of I've already seen somebody write a piece about this, and it was awful.
Yeah.
And it just really, really made me cross because these actors are going in and probably, and they're no doubt going to give these amazing performances, and they reduce it down to the color of their skin. Racist as all hell, and I'm sick of it.
The other side of that coin is that if you were to cast people just for their race,
well, quite so.
Accusations would be leveled there.
I would rather see unintentional bias than intentional representation.
Kind of that box ticking attitude.
Well said.
Yeah,
we don't want that. We don't want tokenism.
Exactly. And if you go too far in the other direction, you end up coming across that way. I find the whole line of thinking of, people prejudging a film based on the color of the cast skin. If it was the other way around, people would be crying racism. It is no different to me. I find it, gross, and I want less of it.
Yeah, no, I am with you. I was just pointing out if there was negative position to take, I would think that was it. Apart from obviously Paul's having an odd time adjusting to Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah.
What isn't a good idea is to Google Emilia Clarke.
Why?
Towards the end of a podcast.
Right.
Because there are so many beautiful pictures of her with scantily cladness going on.
Scantily cladness.
Hashtag scantily cladness.
She is a beautiful young lady. And
part of the show.
Wasn't she in that porn film, Scantily Cladness?
I don't know. I have no idea.
For legal reasons, we must point out that Steve was taking a very, very wide swing at a joke there.
Is she in a phone girl?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Daenerys.
All right, let's wrap this one up then, because I think we've said just about everything we're going to say about Star Wars for the week. Right, there will be no regular show next week, but as I mentioned at the top, there will be some scheduled entertainment in your feeds. I am away. I'm going to miss two recording sessions, but there may be something else for you to look forward to. But thank you for joining us again this week, and thanks to the VIPs that joined me on the Facebook Live beforehand. That was most enjoyable. Don't forget you can head over to iTunes and leave us that 5-star review and take advantage of the Ron Burgundy guarantee. So whatever you write in that review, I will read as long as it's clean. So if you want to promote your own blog or podcast, that might well be the place to do it. You can email us questions to talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com or reach out to us on the social networks of Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, wherever we are, you can find us quite simply. With that said, gentlemen, where can people find you on the internet between shows? Paul.
Hey. On the Interverse, they can find me at moviesbornews.com. On the Twitterverse, you can find me at moviesbornews. And on Talk Star Wars, you'll find me called Paul.
Stephen?
You can find me on Twitter and YouTube called Wild About Nature, or another way on Twitter is at Stephen_Ware.
Splendid. And Rob?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Wade Vision, and you can find a blog I run, Emotionally 14, by searching Emotionally 14 on YouTube, iTunes, Facebook and Twitter.
Awesome. And you can find everything I do at talkstarwars.co.uk, and I'm on Twitter at talkstarwars. And head over to StarWarsCommonwealth.com and check out the other shows in our network, including Tumbling Saber, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron podcast, the Skyhoppers podcast, and the guys at the Nerd Room. We've kicked off a couple of little YouTube projects this week, TSW Builds and TSW Fandom Zone. So if you want to take part in the Fandom Zone, what we're looking for are short videos of your Star Wars collection or your themed gaming room or your home theater or your nerd room, basically anywhere you go to celebrate your fandom. Send us short videos of that and we'll put that out as an episode on our YouTube channel. Episode one is Robert Phillips. It's already scheduled and ready to go, so expect that possibly at the end of this week, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. Okay, everyone, thanks again for joining us, and we will see you again very, very soon.
Cheers, guys.
Mostly.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Oh, this is tough. No love for Poe.
I don't think even Poe's mum would say that Poe was the most important.
I think Poe's mum might. Mrs. Dameron might.
And I think you're wrong.